Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, everybody. Amen. We praise God for being here on today. Amen. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the summit with Minister Adam Tuggle in Jesus' name. Amen. We praise God for being here in Jesus' name on this wonderful, wonderful Saturday. It is now the last month of 2023, and which is shocking, but not shocking, because it feels like we just began the year still, and already we're getting ready to leave, should the Lord say the same. We're getting ready to leave another year and go into a new year. Amen. So I praise God for each in every single one of you on today. Today, we have a phenomenal, phenomenal topic, but before I get into the topic, I want to give honor to whom honor is due, in Jesus' name, giving honor to, first, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life, and if you are in Christ, he's the head of your life. Amen. And we praise God for the Lord being who he is in our lives, in Jesus' name, giving honor to my pastor, Pastor William Tuggle III, in Jesus' name. Also giving honor to my First Lady Cosette Tuggle, in Jesus' name, and giving honor to the watchman on the wall of this network, in Jesus' name. Honoring Apostle Cook, in Jesus' name. God bless you, in Jesus' name. On today, and also all of the other Spirit Alive family, in Jesus' name. We praise God for today, because today it is a very, we have a very, very good topic today. Today we're going to be talking about diamonds in the fire. And you might say, well, diamonds in the fire, what do you mean? The Lord had me do two things to get ready to talk about this topic today. The Lord had me study in the book of Daniel chapter 3, of the three Hebrew boys. And I was reading that, and the Lord had given me the title of this topic. And he began to tell me, I want you to talk about diamonds in the fire. And I'm like, well, did my little research on how diamonds are, you know, created and things like that, and also did a little bit of research on how diamonds, when they're in the fire, can they be consumed? And what I researched and the conclusion that I came up with is that diamonds do not get destroyed in fire. And it took me to Daniel chapter 3 about the story of the three Hebrew boys and how, you know, when a jewelry person is dealing with diamonds, they you know, diamonds take a lot of heat. They go through a lot. They go through a long process. And sometimes those diamonds that are, you know, whether they're big, they're small, they're worth something at the end of it. When they come out of the fire, when they're done, they're worth something. And how the Lord showed me that we are diamonds to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are diamonds to the kingdom of God. And we, anything that is worth something has to go through something. And as we see in today's generation, in the generation that we live in, this world is trying to consume the good in the world, whether it be morally good or godly good or whatever type of good it might be. A lot of people are calling, I know the social media, the government system and things like that, they're calling wrong right and right wrong. And today we are talking about this topic because I want to, well, what the Lord wants to do is increase our knowledge about how to go through. When we go through, what should we do? Because we see a lot of people when they're in the body of Christ. If you're in the body of Christ, and we've seen this happen where the saints of God go through, and some of the saints of God, they call themselves saints of God, and they go through, and they're going through, and they're going through, and then all of a sudden, they want to give up in the middle of the process. They want to give up because because in their mind, it seemed it got too hard. It seemed it got the weight, it was too heavy. But when I think about the three Hebrew boys, they were under great, great trial dealing with King Nebuchadnezzar. And how, you guys as Bible scholars and have read about the three Hebrew boys, we all know the story about how the three Hebrew boys were told to bow, how King Nebuchadnezzar gave a decree that at the sound of the music that was playing, that everybody in that nation should bow to the image that King Nebuchadnezzar set up. And this image was a image of himself, and how at the sound of the music, everybody bowed except the three Hebrew boys. And there were King Nebuchadnezzar's council. They took counsel. And because they wanted to destroy the three Hebrew boys, because they went to King Nebuchadnezzar and said, hey, and I'm paraphrasing y'all, King, did you not give a decree for everybody to bow at the sound of the music? At the sound of the music, wasn't everybody supposed to bow to your image and praise the gods that you told us to praise? And King Nebuchadnezzar said, yeah, I gave that decree. Well, there's three young men down there that did not bow. And the three Hebrew boys, they were brought before King Nebuchadnezzar. And he asked them, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were firm, and they stood on what they believed in. And they told King Nebuchadnezzar, hey, we're not going to bow. We're not going to bow. We're not going to give in to what you are telling us to do. And you might say, well, what does this got to do with being, what does this got to do with diamonds in the fire? It has a lot to do with it. Because when you go through the process of life, things will happen. Life is not going to be a flower bed of ease, whether you saved or unsaved. Life don't work that way. And you probably might go through more trials, and I'm just going to be honest. when you get saved, you probably go through more trials being saved because of the fact the devil is going to try to come after you even more because he wants to see you back out there. Because the devil ain't going to come after something he already got. And so what we have to do is the word of God, to be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy, we got to fight. In King Nebuchadnezzar made this decree, and in the spirit, spiritual realm, the three Hebrew boys were fighting. Now, they weren't naturally fighting. They stood before the king. They gave King Nebuchadnezzar his respect, but they wasn't about to bow. They wasn't about to do. And we have so many people in the body of Christ that just want to, you know, go with the flow. They want to go with the flow of things. Well, we need something to and I've heard this in my life. Well, we living in modern times and you know, it don't take all that and all that. No, we don't have time to sit around and give in to what the world is offering. We don't have time to collaborate with the world, to compromise with the world. The fire might be hot, but you are a diamond in the fire. You're worth it. Jesus went to the cross so that you might be saved, so that you might draw somebody. And when you go in the fire of life, when you're going through your tests and your trials, don't give up. Don't give in. Amen. The Bible in Galatians chapter 1, starting at verse number 8. And I'm going to read, the Lord gave me this because, and we all know, if you read the word of God, you'll know what I'm talking about when we read these verses. I'm going to start at Galatians chapter 1, verse number 8, starting at verse number 8. But thus we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you. Let him be accursed. As we said before, we say, I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persecute men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. What these verses are saying to us is we should not be men pleasers. And if you're in the body of Christ, sometimes you're gonna go through the fire, you're gonna be tested, and it ain't just with finances. It ain't just with, we see in the Bible days, people of God were persecuted. They were killed. And we're seeing that now today. We don't know what we're going to see before the coming of the Lord happens. I remember there was a school shooting in the 90s, the Columbine shooting. And there were a couple of people killed in that Columbine shooting that because they chose not to denounce God. They chose not to denounce God. And that's what we have to have, that Hebrew boy, the three Hebrew boys type of faith, because the three Hebrew boys, when they were threatened to be thrown into the fiery furnace by King Nebuchadnezzar, they still stood. They still stood. They did not let what was in front of them scare them into saying, I'm going to denounce God. I'm just going to leave. I'm just going to walk away from this. And we see that a lot in the church. We see a lot of people walking away. The Bible says there shall be a great falling away, but my Pastor Tuggle, he says it a lot. He said, yes, the Bible says there's going to be a great falling away, but your name wasn't written there. You ain't got to be in that great falling away. You don't. Your name was not written in that great falling away. So that means you don't have to be in that great falling away. Yes, there are many, many people that have walked away from God. And look, let me tell you something. If you have walked away, get back to him. The Lord loves you. He died that you might have life. He died that you might have life. He said, I came that they might have life and that they might have life more abundantly. More abundantly. See, the problems of our life is not here to take us out. It's not here to kill you, because the Lord is not going to allow the problems, every single problem. If every single problem took us out, we'd be gone a long time ago. Long time ago. But we have to be the diamonds in the fire. Because in the midst of a diamond going through the fire, that jewelry maker or that person that takes that diamond in the fire, they're looking at that diamond, watching to see if that diamond is going to be destroyed or not destroyed. And they're looking. And that's the same thing with the world. The world is looking at us while we're in the fire. They're looking at us. They're watching us. They're like, okay, I have literally, in saints of God, watched you too. Newborn saints, old saints, we are to be read by all men, the Bible says. We're not just here on this earth to just twiddle our thumbs. We're not just here to receive the Holy Ghost and just sit on a pew. We're not. We are to work while it is day, because when night cometh, no man shall work. This is what we have to do. Amen. We cannot be world pleasers, man pleasers, all because my family don't like it. I'm not gonna do this anymore. No. Bump all that. I don't care who don't like the word of God. Who don't want me? Now, there's a way of telling folks about the word of God. There's a way of teaching the word of God. You can teach the word of God just by living your life. You can live out the word of God and somebody be drawn to it. Amen. But you have to understand, we as people of God, we have to understand that we must work while it is day. Because when night cometh, no man shall work. The Bible lets us know that the harvest is ripe. That the harvest is ripe and the labor, but the labors are few. Why is it few? Because everybody wants, there's people in the church that want the gifts, They want the titles, but they don't want to work. And that's the same thing in the natural, in society. A whole body, there's a lot of people that want a work check, but they don't want to do the work for the check. There's a song that says, "Payday is coming after a while." Well, if you ain't putting in your, the song says, "Put your time in. Payday is coming after a while." Well, if you ain't putting in your time, you're not getting a payday. Look, I'm going to use my job, for instance. If I do not get up and go to work, and I'm using this in the natural so people will understand. If you don't get up and go to work, you can't make any money. And there's tons of jobs out here. There's tons of jobs. You can use your talents and your gifts to make a job out of it. Everybody saying, well, there's no jobs out here and there's no work out here. Yes, there is. Do you not know you can do Uber, you can do all of that and make yourself a job? There's plenty of work out here, just like in the body of Christ. There's plenty to do. Well, I ain't got nothing to do. Yes, you do. You can witness the souls. You can start a Bible study in your neighborhood. You can just live your life. Live your life in holiness and see where it gets you. You do not have to be. I remember I preached a sermon a while ago, and it was a couple years now, and it was entitled "Enough is Enough." Enough is enough. And I said in that sermon, I said, "This is not my job. My job is not to be behind a pulpit preacher. That's not my job. That's my pastor's job. If he chooses to render his pulpit to me or whoever else, that's between the Lord and him." Everybody, and I say that because everybody wants to get up in the pulpit and preach. They don't want to go out here in the streets and work. They don't want to give to the homeless. Come on now. Learn how to get some flyers together and take them out and pass them out to the community. Go visit people at the hospital. The Bible speaks of this. When I was sick, did you come and see about me? When I was naked, did you clothe me? These are the things that we have to do to win souls. This is what we do to win souls. This is what we do. And then we say we ain't got nothing to do. Yes, you do. Why do you think the Lord has, why do you, in the body of Christ, we testify all the time, the Lord is a keeper. The Lord kept me from this. The Lord kept me from that. Why do you think he did it? Because your work ain't done yet. You still got work to do. And if he was to take you out of here before your work was done, you didn't get everything done that you were supposed to get done in Christ, you'd be lost. Because the Bible lets us know he's going to come. And some people are not going to have their works all the way done. He's going to come back and catch some people with their works undone, just like he caught the five foolish virgins. That parable about the 10 virgins. The bridegroom caught five foolish virgins with their works undone. They didn't have their lamps trimming and burning bright, all because they didn't take no oil with them. All because of that. They didn't take no oil. So now we're in the time of, oh well, Lord, let me let me borrow some from you. No, you can't borrow this from me. I got to have stuff. When it comes to your salvation and your walk with God, it is a one-man show. And what I mean by that is I don't care about nobody else. When it comes to making sure that I'm right with God, if you don't want to go, don't hinder me. I don't care who you are. I love my mama. I love my daddy. I love my sisters and my brothers. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my whole family. But guess what? They can't do me like Jesus. When it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, when it comes to what the Lord wants me to do, I'm sorry. People got to go on the back burner. I'm sorry. When it comes to the Lord, I love each and every person. There's some people that have come in my life and they wondering, how are you able to forgive somebody that's done this to you and done that to you because of Jesus? I got to. I ain't got no choice. I mean, I have a choice because the Lord don't force himself on nobody. But if I want to make it to heaven, I ain't got no choice. If the Lord forgave, I can forgive. Because I said I got the greater on the inside of me. He helps me to forgive. He helps me to humble myself enough to forgive. He helps me humble myself. He helps me bring myself down to a level, to the point that I will submit myself unto the Lord, unto what the Lord wants me to do. And it's all about submission. When you talk about going through the fire and not walking away from God, it's all about submission. You have to submit yourself, just like the Bible says. The Bible tells the wife to submit to the husband. And it also tells the husband to submit to the wife. But that, a marriage between a man and a woman, is symbolic of the bride of Christ being married to the Lord Jesus Christ. The church must submit itself to God's authority. And that's where we are lacking at, submitting ourselves to God's authority. We submit in a lot of areas, but we got this area over here we don't want to submit because we got that over there. No, submit everything. The Bible says lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset you. Lay it aside. If it's a weight, if it's something that you know that's going to keep you away from God, lay it aside. And I'm talking to anybody today. I'm talking to everybody today. Lay it aside. Because we ain't got time. We don't have time. Time is of the essence. The coming of the Lord is soon as right at hand. I ain't even gonna say soon. It's at hand now. It ain't even right at hand. We are at the brink of the coming of the Lord. And I know, I understand, you might say, well, Minister Adam, you've talked about the coming of the Lord, and people have talked about the coming of the Lord for so many years. When is he coming? Look, if your works ain't, if you're not right in Christ, you don't want the Lord to come back right now. And it's by his grace and his mercy that he has not come back yet. The only reason, let me share this with you. Every prophecy from Genesis to Revelation has come to pass, except for the coming of the Lord and what comes after the coming of the Lord. Those are the only things that have not come to pass yet because the Lord has not come. But everything leading up to the coming of the Lord has come to pass. Every sign has come to pass.
that was talked about up to the coming of the Lord. What shall be the signs of thy coming? What shall be the signs of thy coming? All of that has come to pass. I think it's Matthew chapter 24, I believe. I know it's in the book of Matthew. Amen. But when we read the word of God, matter of fact, I'm going to read it to you because I want to get this right. Amen. In Matthew chapter 24, it says, Matthew chapter 24, starting at verse number 3. It says, as he sat up on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed that no man deceive. There is a bunch of, there is deception in the world right now. Now, the greatest deception will be after the coming of the Lord, because a lot of people are going to be very much deceived. But there's deception in the world now. That spirit of deception is in the world now, thinking that's one way when it's not that way. That's why the Bible says, be not wise in thy own eyes. Be not wise in thy own eyes. That's why the Bible also says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. What does that mean? That don't mean just knowing everything. That means if you don't understand something, ask God. You really don't know. That's why when I'm talking about the word of God, I'm very quick. If I don't know something, I'm very quick to say I don't know. I do not lead. No, because I don't want nobody. I don't want nobody's blood on my hands. I don't. I'm very, very particular. I am very, very particular about that. I'm very stern on that. I was taught that years ago. If you don't know the answer to something, don't you give no answer. You say, I don't know. But don't you leave them answerless. You try to go out and find the answer. You either bring the person that knows the answer to that individual, or you get the answer from the individual that knows, and then you bring it to the individual. You bring it to the other individual that needs to know. But you don't say nothing off the top of your head, especially about the word of God. Especially, because that's dealing with somebody's soul. That's dealing with somebody's soul. And I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I know I'm talking to somebody that's either witnessing or preaching when I say this. Don't preachers, if you really don't know, please say, I don't know. Because the blood is going to be on your hands if that person goes out and does that. And should something happen, Lord forbid something happen, the blood is on your hands and you held accountable for that soul. Because they went out and did what you told them to do. So watch what you do. That's why I as a parent, I was told, watch what you do around your kids. Watch what you say around your kids, because they're going to pick. Kids are like sponges. Kids have brains of a sponge, and it's not just their brains, but the spirit. Kids take on spirits too, just like adults do. I was watching,
I was watching a video yesterday on YouTube of this man. This man was getting arrested, and this man was possessed. He was literally possessed. And I saw the change when he was at Walmart, and I guess the man either had money or didn't have money or whatever. And this man started, the demon that was in him, the possessed, the man that was possessed, the demon that was in him had this man fighting with the police. And you know, this police officer was like, "Are you on meds? Are you mentally unstable or what?" No, I saw it. I knew what it was. Possessed. And these are the things that we can't compromise with the world, because when you compromise with the world and you say, "Oh, it's all right." No, you letting any type of spirit come on in. You telling that spirit, "Come on in. What's up with me?" And it ain't godly either. When you sit over there and you compromise, don't you know that that stuff brings spirits? That's why I said when I preached "Enough is Enough," it's not my job to be up here preaching. That's my pastor's job. Now, if he renders his court, okay, that's fine. That's great. I'll do it. But it's not for as a leader or whatever you want to call yourself. A pastor is not supposed to let just anybody preach in their pulpit either. And that's another thing that we have going on. Because of status. Because they got money. And some people don't even be saved, and you letting them preach in your pulpit because they got status. Because they got money. And then you got some people that say, "Well, God can use anybody." Yes, God can use anybody. We know this. But God's not going to use an unclean vessel either. If you really, really unclean. Because the spirits that are in this is the reason why I say God does not dwell in an unclean vessel. And God does not use God. Yes, God can use anybody, and God can change anybody, but he does not allow just anything to happen in his church. If you, and let me say this, even with us doing, being on the radio, I got to make sure that I'm right before I compel men to come unto the Lord. I pray before I get on here. When I'm driving down the street, I'm praying. Before I go to work, I'm praying. When I leave the house, I'm praying. I pray a lot. And sometimes there's some people I could stand right in front of them and I'd be praying, and they don't even know it. They don't even know I'm praying. And then I'm just praying for them, praying for myself. Lord, keep me. Lord, what do you want me? This is submission. It goes into submission, too, because, Lord, do you not, my pastor taught on, Pastor Tuggle, he taught on, decisions. We make decisions every single day. Some decisions will have you in the fire, and some decisions will bring you out of the fire. Some decisions, we make tons and tons of decisions on a day-to-day basis. But why don't we make the decision to ask God, what do you want me to do today, Lord? From the way you want me to dress to the way you want me to, because it's not our life.
Your life is not your own. Your life don't belong to you. I'm going to say it again. Your life does not belong to you. You might say it's your life, but it ain't your life. You didn't give yourself breath. You did not give yourself breath today. You did not put breath in your body. So it ain't your life. You didn't tell your lungs to breathe. And I'm going to go deeper than that. You didn't even give yourself your name. You didn't get to choose what skin color you going to be. You didn't get to choose what family you going to be in. The Lord chose all that for you. Well, why didn't the Lord choose me to be in a rich family? Why didn't the Lord choose the I don't know. But there's a reason why he got you where he got you at, the family that he put you in. But if he's such loving, why would he do this and why would he allow that? The trials of our faith, the trials that we go through, the things that we lose, the things that we gain, it's all according to God. It's all according to the blessing. It's all leading up to the blessing that you're going to receive. The Bible says all things work together for the good. My losses work together for my good? Yes. Yes. If I was to, Lord forbid I was to lose everything, but it would still work together for my good. Job, and I like using Job a lot because Job lost everything. There is two people on the face of the earth that I like using a lot in the Bible. And that's Job, and one of them, I don't use him a lot, but Solomon. Solomon was the most wisest person on the face of the earth. Mm-hmm. All because of the prayer he prayed. When God asked him, what do you want? And I'm paraphrasing. And he asked for wisdom to lead God's people. Now, that's wise. That's why he was known as the most wisest person on the face of the earth. And he got that wisdom to lead God's people. Not only that, but he got more than what he wanted. He got more than what he wanted. And Job himself was the richest, would be considered a rich man, one of the richest men. Back in that day, he would be considered as a rich man today. But Job lost everything. But he never lost his faith in God. He held his integrity, even when his own came against him. Even when his friends came against him. Brother Job, I know you must have sinned. No, wasn't no sin involved in this. It was a test of his faith, of his faith. He was in the fire. He was a diamond in the fire. Because at the end of it, we read about it now. We hear about the story of Job and how Job went through, not just in his wealth, not just in his finances, not just in his family, in his body. He went through a lot in one day. He did all of this in one day. He went through all of this in one day. And yet, he did not give up. He did not give in. He did not compromise. He was a diamond in the fire. And yet, today, in 2023, almost 2024, we got people today that are still standing, that are still preaching, that are still teaching, that are still loving God. And then we got some that say, well, oh, because the Lord didn't bless me with this and the Lord didn't bless me with that, I'm just going to walk away. Well, that's your right. If you want to do that, that's your right. But let me tell you something. When you walk away from God, I'm going to tell you, like my former pastor told me, because I made the dumbest decision to try when I was younger. When I had told my former pastor one time, you know what, I don't think I can do this, mother. You know, I'm done. I don't want to be saved no more. That was dumb. And yeah, I called myself dumb. That would have been a dumb decision. That was a dumb statement that I made. It was dumb. And my pastor told me, she said, oh, you want to walk away from God? Yes, ma'am. Yes, yes, yes. I can't do this no more. I'm young. I'm not even in my teens yet. I'm almost in my teens, and I want to, you know, live it up and do this and do that. Okay. You know, my pastor said, you know, the way of a transgressor is hard. A transgressor is a person that turns away from God, just walks away. And you wondering why, if you have walked away from God, you wondering why your life is the way it is. Because you have no balance in life. You have no way of you walked away from the hope that you had. That's why the way of a transgressor is hard. Yes, you're going through a little bit. You, Minister Adam, you don't understand. I'm going through a lot. I'm not going through a little bit. It's a little bit to God, because he can take care of everything. With Christ, all things are possible. The Bible says, I can do all things through what? Through Christ, not through man. Not through things of the world. I can't do all things. I can do all things through Christ. I made it to 36 years old not because of stuff I've done. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on God. The Lord has helped me get to the age that I am, and I'm still young, y'all. Still got a lot more living to do. I have not arrived, but I will say this. The things that the Lord has allowed me to do in my life is because of him, not because of me. All the good, everything, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. There, didn't we throw three people in there? And he said, his counsel said, yeah, we threw three people in there. We threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. And he said, well, I see the three, but I see a fourth person in there. And that fourth person looked like God. And when he called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fiery furnace, they came walking out, not even smelling like smoke. They weren't burned up. The clothes wasn't burned up. Their skin wasn't burnt off. Then nothing. It was like nothing happened to them. Because God protected them in the fire. They were diamonds in a fire. They were diamonds in the fire. And yet, because they stood their ground, because they stood on what they believed in, God protected them. God shielded them. Not only physically, He shielded their mind. He shielded everything. And guess what? Not only did he shield them, but a soul was brought into the kingdom. Because King Nebuchadnezzar didn't believe. And he began to tell, he gave another decree after it. We shall serve the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because of them taking a stand for what God said, they didn't compromise. They didn't bow. And all because of that, a king, King Nebuchadnezzar, was brought into the kingdom of God. And he was a believer from then on. How? That's why I said we are to be read by all men. This is why I said earlier, your life can speak volumes for you. That's why it's good that every day you get up, submit yourself unto the Lord. Ask God, what do you want me to do today? How do you want me to give? How do you want me to live? How do you want me to be on my job? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to dress? What do you want? Everything about my life, God, what do you want me to do? The Bible lets us know that we should do that anyway. Everything, every area of our life, we should ask God, what should we do? Every area. The Bible speaks of it. You don't believe me? Check out Colossians 3:17. If you don't believe me. Colossians 3:17 says, whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, that means whatever thoughts you think, do it in Jesus' name. Whatever words you say, do it in Jesus' name. I'm doing this for the Lord. I'm not doing this for me. I'm living my life for the Lord. I'm not living my life for you, for myself. That's why I said your life is not your own. He bought your soul with the shedding of his blood, paid the price for you. He paid the price for your salvation. He paid the price for your life. How do I know he paid the price? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible also says the wages of sin is death. Okay, what does this mean? This means that in sin, there's a wage that needs to be paid. When you sin, there's a wage that needs to be paid. The sin debt needs to be paid. Jesus already paid the sin debt when he died. When he shed his blood, he bought your soul. There's an old song that says, one drop of blood, it bought me a million years. One soul was born. Each time he shed a tear, up to you to not compromise. It's up to you to not give in. It's up to you to receive what God's got for you. It's up to you. You got a choice. Are you going to be a diamond in the fire, or are you going to be a fake diamond that is consumed in the fire? Because fake diamonds, they look real. They look awesome. They look beautiful. But really, it doesn't carry enough weight. When it's hit, when a fake diamond is hit, it cracks. You can beat that thing and it can smash into pieces. But a real diamond, it's hard. It's hard to break it. It's hard to to end the life of a diamond. And when I mean end the life of a diamond, I mean you. I mean you, you, and you. Man, woman, boy, or girl. When you get the greater on the inside of you, you become that diamond in the fire. So when you go through the fire, you'll be able to say, the greater is on the inside of me, and I can fight this thing. That's why the Bible lets us know, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. It don't say put on the weed, put on the cigarettes, put on the drinking, put on the That ain't gonna help you. Put on the money, put on the fame, put on the fortune. That is not gonna help you when you're going through the fire. That money is not gonna help you when you're going through the fire. Don't you know that that money will be consumed along with you? You ever seen money being burned? To be the diamonds in the fire. We have to be the diamonds in the fire on today. So I encourage you. I encourage you. You are a diamond. And when you go through the fire, and if you got the greater on the inside of you, and my question to you today is, are you the fake diamond or are you the real thing? Are you that person that, as the Bible says, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof? Mm-hmm. Are you the one that crept in unaware, as it says in the book of Jude? We have certain men that have crept in unaware. Have you let the falseness, have you let something deceive you? The Bible says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Jesus done already told us, take heed that no man deceive you. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 4, take heed. What does that mean, take heed? That means take heed to what the Lord is telling you. Take heed to what the Lord has for you. Take heed to what the Lord is where the Lord is trying to take you. Take heed. Take heed to his word. Get closer to him. There is no such thing as being too close to God. If you praying two times a day, start praying three times a day. If you fasting one day a week, start fasting 2 days a week. Get closer. Get closer. I want to be close to Jesus. I want to be closer than I am with my mother or my father or my wife or my husband. You got to get close. I want to be close. See, there's one thing that the Lord would never do when you want to get close to him. There's sometimes I get on, and yes, sometimes Minister Adam does get on people's nerves. I sometimes be wanting to show affection to my wife and, you know, love on my wife and stuff, and sometimes sometimes that's people in general. Sometimes people don't want to be, you know, back up, you know. Sometimes my children, I know my youngest will run up and hug the fool out of me. I'll walk up and say, Daddy, can I get this? Can I get that? Or da 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 da, and just be. I'm like, wait a minute, for real. I need you to go in there. I need to have some me time, you know. Sometimes my wife be like, hey, I want some me time. I'm like, all right, babe, all right, all right. But Jesus will never do that to you. He wants us time all the time. Do you hear what I said? Jesus wants some us time all the time. Jesus is not waiting. We're not waiting on Jesus for us time. He's waiting on us for us time. Some in Jesus time. Some Apostle Cook in Jesus time. Some Bishop Carver in Jesus time. That's what he wants. I know you got a life, but I need some time with you. I want some time with you. I know you got a wife. I know you got a husband. I know you got this, and I know you got that. I know you got your job over here, and I know you got your career over here, and you got school over here, and you got children over here, but I want some time. I want some time. I just want some time to stuff with you. Amen. We praise God for the lesson on today. I praise God for being here on today. I praise God for being a diamond in the fire. I praise God for each and every person. I'm not going to do a Bishop Carver and name every country and everything, but I praise God for each and every single country that listens in every week to every show that we have right here on the Spirit Alive Network, in Jesus' name. I'm done, y'all. When the Lord says stop, I stop, y'all. When the Lord says you're done, I'm done. I'm not going to say no more. But I praise God for all of your prayers. I do want to say that. I praise God for each and every single one of your prayers for my family. Continue to pray for the Spinks family. Continue to pray for the Tuggle family, and continue to pray for my uncle, Michael Tuggle, in the loss of his wife, my auntie. Pray for him. Pray for him mightily, please. He's not only lost his wife, but he lost his child, his only daughter, in 2015. So just pray for him in Jesus' name. That's my uncle. Please, please, please. And pray for my grandmother and the loss of my grandfather and my cousin. She lost her grandson and her husband all in the same year. So I've never referred to her as my step grandmother, but my grandmother nonetheless, in Jesus' name. That's my grandfather's wife. So pray for her. In Jesus' name, I thank God for each and every one of you in Jesus' name. As it states in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. And in verse 39 of Acts 2:38 and 39, verse 39 says, and this promise is unto you, and unto your children, and unto those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. This means that this hope, that this promise, which is the Holy Ghost, is unto you and unto your children, and unto many generations afar off.
So if you do not have a relationship with Christ, and if you don't know the ways of salvation, Acts 2 and 38 will show you the way of salvation. Amen. I do believe in water baptism. I do believe in, we believe in repentance, water baptism, and receiving the precious gift of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Tomorrow is Sunday. So I challenge you. Yep, Minister Tuggle is challenging you that on tomorrow that you go out. Go out to your church. Go to your church and give God your best praise. Give God, and if you don't have a church home, find you a sanctified church that baptizes in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. And give your best praise unto God. Give your best praise. I don't care. And even if you got, I remember an elder, after I say this, I'm going to go. I remember an elder said, give your best praise to God. And you might not even know how to dance. You may not even know how to dance before the Lord. But if you got to do jumping jacks, do jumping jacks for Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you in Jesus' name. God bless you. Praise God for each and every one of you in Jesus' name. God bless you in Jesus' name.